We begin week two of the fantasy baseball season with a weekend recap. Welcome. Monday, April 13th. Adam Azer here with Scott White. Now, Melchior, how did week one go for you guys?
Terrific.
Overall, pretty good.
All right.
My only loss was in the podcast league.
Oh, really?
Nobody believes me.
I can't believe you picked up Jimmy Nelson in the podcast league. I didn't even look to see if he was available. I feel so stupid for not putting in a claim.
Somebody had dropped him, I guess, right before his amazing start on Saturday, I guess it was.
Yeah.
I had that claim in for more than a day. You got to check the roster trends, Adam. That's only way to make sure nothing slips through the cracks.
When I talked about that 100% commitment, that's what I'm talking about, and I missed it too. So,
when you check the roster trends, just as a helpful hint, helpful tip for people out there, you do the most owned, and then you sort by free agents.
Well, it automatically sorts by free agents. So it starts on most added. I check most added first, pretty much just scan through the first left-hand column, and then I go to most owned. Yeah, those are the two that matter to me. Most viewed can be so capricious that I find it's not that helpful, but those other two, most added and most owned, definitely are.
Yeah, to hell with you, most viewed. Well, we will look at the most added list in a little bit as we get going here on today's podcast. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and put baseball podcast in the subject line or grade the trade, something like that. First pitch today is at 1:10 p.m. Eastern time. Get your lineup set. We do have, I think, 6 day games, 14 total games. We'll give you some FanDuel advice later on in the show with Heath Cummings. We missed the mark on some Anthony Ghost names last week, guys, Anthony Ghost team names. So the listeners, of course, chimed in and helped us out. James Wells says, what do you think of Ghostbusters if you own Ghosts and Buster Posey?
I think it's good. I think you have to own both or else it doesn't really mean anything, and it seems kind of forced, but if you own both, it works.
I don't know that it seems forced. I think you could get away with it if you own only one.
It wouldn't even have occurred to me that it could be a Buster Posey thing if I didn't
exactly
have Buster Posey.
And Thomas says, you missed the most obvious one of all, or the most fun one of all, Cashner the Friendly Ghost. And that one you would have to have both guys.
Yeah, definitely, but I like it.
It's very good. Hey, let's read a tweet of the day before we get into the players to add, and we got a lot of news. Yan Gomes, Michael Brantley, Derek Holland, Ian Kennedy, Ricky Nolasco, Yordano Ventura keeps cramping. Here's tweet of the day, though. It's from Verdugo Jones. Is Alex Wood really as good as you guys have him ranked, or is it just a combination of decent talent plus RP eligibility?
Well, for me, it's definitely just I think he's legit. He's a legit number two starter, legit top two, top three reliever in points leagues overall.
Yeah, I feel like his stats kind of speak for himself. It's not like we're pulling a guy out of left field here or wherever.
Yeah, I mean, strikeout per inning and a 2.78 ERA last year. Off to a bit of a slow start, but I remember we were talking about sell or buy low, sell high guys, and I said if he had another, you know, not impressive start, that's the kind of guy I would buy low on. And he did have another unimpressive start. Wood went 6 2/3, 8 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. So in your mind, it hasn't been a great, it hasn't been terrible, but it's been an okay beginning for Wood. You think better things yet to come?
This was a quality start, and the start before that was an inning short of a quality start, and he's still at a strikeout per inning, basically. So if I own Wood, I'm not disappointed right now. He hasn't been his best yet, but he hasn't been bad either.
So if you're new to the podcast, on Monday we like to recap what's happened over the last 3 days and basically tell you who to add and who to drop and what you need to know. It's a comprehensive show. There are a lot of names to talk about, so let's just get to the players that you guys want to add. Who you may have added, who's on your radar. Al, why don't you kick it off?
All right. I added Adam Lind in a points league, and if I hadn't eaten other points leagues, I would have been fine because I think he's a really good pickup for that format. In terms of hitters,
I'll jump in. I think Adam Lind started against the lefty on Friday, and he collected 2 hits in the game, I believe. I don't know if they were off the lefty pitcher, but do you think he could be more regular instead of just sitting against lefties?
I mean, that's a good sign, and the Brewers had a plan to use Lucroy at first against lefties. So it's not like they're really lacking for, you know, a decent option to use. But That's this early in the season when it seems like managers are more inclined to sit regulars than every day than play them every day. That's highly encouraging.
Yeah, he is 3-4-5 so far against lefties. Any other ads for you, Al?
Okay, well, let's just go to pitching. I picked up some two-star pitchers, and actually I picked up one-star guy, Jesse Hahn, because I like the matchup very much against the Royals this week. But in terms of two-star guys, I've got a lot of Chris Heston going on, particularly in RP slots. Scott Feldman in, I think, two leagues. And in deeper leagues, a couple of Trevor May pickups.
And so, that's funny because I'm loading up on Royals today. if I'm playing early FanDuel, like, I understand picking up Trevor May, it's worth a shot, but he's facing the Royals today as Ricky Nolasco's on the DL. You're not going to start him yet, are you?
I am actually starting him, and this is a nerve-wracking decision, but I am starting him in 15-team mixed tout wars.
Well, 15 teams certainly changes things.
Yeah, kind of deeper there.
Scott, how about you? Who'd you pick up?
Well, I mean, let's start with Nelson because he's still only 65% owned.
Yeah.
Two hit the Pirates over seven innings, nine strikeouts, and apparently the curveball, he worked on that a lot this spring, and it was an awful spring. It's probably scared some people away. It scared me away to some extent, but it seems to be paying off now because that curveball seemed to be the differentiator for him. It was strikeout after strikeout with that pitch. So definitely a lot of upside there, and I would say must own. Looking a little deeper than him, and on the hitting side, Kevin Kiermaier, I picked him up in a couple roto leagues, five outfielder leagues. And you were talking about Lins playing even against lefty. Well, so far Kiermaier has done that too, and that wasn't anything I was counting on at the beginning of the year. 21 at-bats, he struck out twice and has seven extra base hits. And he got a ton of extra base hits too. I think I made a big deal about David Peralta and what he did in terms of extra bases last year, but Kiermaier was similar. The strikeout rate was concerning, but so far good as far as that goes. And at 24, he could obviously be getting better.
I found myself gambling on some pitchers that I just hated last year. And it's mostly like last roster spot, I'm kind of desperate for pitching. Let's see if something happens here. Not Lincecum. I wouldn't go that far. But I picked up Ubaldo Jimenez.
I noticed.
Oh, I did too. Yeah.
You know, apparently he made a mechanical adjustment, and he's the kind of guy that could get hot for like a month, month and a half, and be Cy Young worthy.
It could be more than a month and a half.
It could be, yeah.
He's just always been kind of, he's kind of been like Clay Buchholz in that, I mean, you know, there's a ton of upside there, but the mechanics seem to come and go, and it's hard to, he hasn't had much success in recent years putting together a full season of good mechanics.
And another guy that I was so against, but now I'm actually more excited about now that he's in San Diego, is Brandon Morrow. I picked him up. He had a really good start. What do you guys think about Brandon Morrow? Is he still kind of a deep league guy for you?
I'd say for now, and it's not that I don't think that he could have possibly a career year this year, but there, again, there's just so many pitchers that you could use in your four or five slots. That I feel like you can afford to wait and see with Morrow.
Yeah, I was prioritizing Ubaldo Jimenez over him, and there were some leagues where my claims never even got around to Jimenez.
Let's take a look at the most added list then and see what you guys think. Jose Iglesias is number one. He was 7% owned. Now Iglesias, the Tigers shortstop, is 51% owned.
That's one I was passing on over and over again. Okay. He would have to become a base stealer, and I think since his two steals on opening day, I don't think he's had any. I'll double check that.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't do that, then it's just hollow. The best you can hope for is hollow batting average, and that's not assured.
No steals, Scott. No steals.
Okay.
You had that. Miguel Castro is number two. That makes some sense. Alex Avila is number three. Yeah, I mean, I had to pick him up, but I'm not expecting much offensively from Avila. Are you guys?
Not expecting, no, but, you know, Scott, I think you did the player video for him recently and pointed out, I mean, 2011, he looked like he was a big-time up-and-coming catcher with offense, and I think that we see this a lot with catchers where in, you know, later mid-to-late career, they peak or, you know, reestablish an earlier peak. So it wouldn't shock me. I think that's, you know, the way that catcher is, where it falls off after the top 11 or 12 or so. I think that makes sense.
Jason Grilley is number four. Lower on the list is Jairys Familia. So we got Castro, Grilley, and Familia. How would you guys rank those three closers? Castro, Grilley, Familia.
I'd go Grilley, Castro, and Familia. Even with the 80-game suspension for Henry Mejia. So, I mean, that pretty much pushes him out of the closer picture, I would say. Yeah. But I think that just makes it easier for the Mets to go back to Parnell when they do. So I think he's the one I worry doesn't have staying power the most.
Steven Vogt is on the most added list. Would you prefer Avila or Vogt?
I'd rather have Vogt.
Yep.
Has Vogt gained his catcher eligibility yet?
He has, and Marcus Semien has gained shortstop
eligibility. Hey, all right. Congratulations to both of them. Yeah, Steven Vogt, number five on the most added list. Lorenzo Cain off to a very good start. He's number six on the most added list. Kevin Kiermaier is number nine. Is Cain clearly ahead of Kevin Kiermaier, just to put them in perspective?
Well, I think he is.
You think so?
I definitely think so. I think both are great sell high guys right now. But I think Kiermaier more than Cain is.
I guess in the leagues I was picking up Kiermaier, Cain wasn't even available. I did pass on Cain in some leagues, but those were more points leagues where you don't, not as many outfielders are owned.
Jake Lamb and Mike Moustakas are in the top 12. Who do you like better, Lamb or Moustakas?
Lamb by a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say Moustakas. I feel like Lamb's always going to have playing time issues and.
You don't think he might Corey Dickerson it and, you know, time for a few weeks and then bust out?
I can't imagine he's as good as Corey Dickerson.
Well, I don't think he is either. But in terms of the playing time pattern, where if you're patient with him for the first few weeks, you'll get a guy who's very good the rest of the season with regular time.
Well, I'm just not. I guess it could happen, but he would have to be better than I think he's going to be. I think he has some power. But
he's not the all-around hitter that Dickerson is,
right,
for sure.
And Moustakas, I mean, look, Moustakas a week from now, I could be back to saying he's unownable. But I think the way he started the season and, you know, not striking out much, hitting the opposite way, he had his first opposite field home run ever. He's worth a flyer because he's still young enough to tap into that upside that potentially once had.
Joe Kelly is on the most added list. He had a great start against the Yankees. I didn't realize how hard Joe Kelly throws.
Nobody does.
No, 95 mile per hour, like averaging that on his fastball year after year. Maybe there's some untapped potential, but then again, maybe not. did you guys have any interest in Joe Kelly?
I didn't, no.
He was on the Brandon Morrow side of things. Just
right.
Couldn't get that far down the list.
Fair enough. So then I'll just read these names here, these pitchers, and you tell me your two favorites. Chris Heston, Joe Kelly, Ubaldo Jimenez, and Brandon Morrow. Chris Heston, Joe Kelly, Ubaldo Jimenez, Brandon Morrow, all in the top 20. And let's throw Edinson Volquez in there just for fun. All in the top 20 in the most added list.
I'm going to go Jimenez, number one, and then Heston. Heston, I think, is my number two, just gambling a bit on the unknown. And the relief pitcher eligibility, obviously, in points league sets them apart.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense to rank them the way that Scott has. They're my top two as well. I think, to be honest and fully disclosing here, I need to put Heston first because that's the guy I actually did pursue.
Well, that's very honest of you, Al. We really appreciate that. Did you guys have nice weekends, fun weekends?
I had a great weekend.
Oh, good. What'd you do? Anything great?
No, it was just chilling.
Okay.
That's what made it so great. How about you?
I babysat.
Oh, you too, huh?
Yeah, for a four-year-old, and I had to watch. I watched Tangled, the Rapunzel story.
Uh-huh.
Not a very good Disney movie. But then we watched The Little Mermaid, a throwback to a classic. And I
have you ever seen Frozen?
I actually have not seen Frozen. I've seen parts of it. I've heard it's not that good.
Yeah, that was my takeaway. And look, I mean, I understand it's a kids' movie, but I think I'm rounded enough to enjoy a kids' movie if it's a kids' movie worth enjoying. And Frozen just wasn't. I don't understand the Frozen hype.
I think that having seen Tangled and the girl that I babysat for loved it so much, it was kind of crappy, and Frozen, I know my niece and my nephew loves Frozen. I feel like the kids will love any movie, any like cartoon with singing. I'm serious. Like, this movie stinks. They're never going to be like that. If it's got cartoons and singing in it, they're going to love it.
Yeah.
I think there's something to that.
All right. Anyway, back to baseball. Big news. Let's get to the injuries. Yan Gomes out 6 to 8 weeks with an MCL sprain. Is Roberto Perez interesting in a two-catcher league?
Yeah, I think he is, and I made a bid for him in that same 15-team mixed league where I picked up Heston. Gotthasten did not get Perez because I'm not the Yan Gomes owner who was willing to spend a lot for him. But, I think in actually any two-catcher league, he's worth picking up.
Oh, quick detour here. Back to the most added list. I don't even know if he's on the most added list, but let's say Jimmy Nelson, let's say he's one of the prizes of the weekend. Would you rather have Archie Bradley? Because we got to talk about him. He had a great debut, although he did walk four guys. Would you rather have Archie Bradley or Jimmy Nelson?
I would rather have Nelson. I think I just think he's further along the development ladder, and I think this year, as with his age, we're going to see if he sinks or swims. Well, Bradley, I think where he is in his development, some growing pains are to be expected.
Al?
Yeah, no, I would definitely much rather have Nelson, and for the reasons that Scott just enumerated.
Michael Brantley's missed four games with a back injury. He could end up on the DL, or he could be back on Tuesday. The Indians are off today. Start or sit, Michael Brantley?
I sat him in a five outfielder league, actually. Now I had Travis Snyder, who I like a lot this week. He was in my five up in my new the new name for the hitting column is five up, five down. He was in the five up. So you'd have to have another option you like, but it's only a five game week for the Indians, and based on the way the first week went and how the end of spring training went, it seems highly likely he won't play all five of those games.
Derek Holland has a shoulder injury. He'll be out at least 6 weeks. He's the second most dropped player in our leagues. Ricky Nolasco's on the DL, so Trevor May will start today for the Twins. Ian Kennedy's on the DL. Odrisamer Despaigne will replace him in the rotation. Would you guys rather have Despaigne or May in a deeper format?
You know, I know you're a big May fan, Al. I'm going to go Despaigne.
And I am a big May fan, and yet I may have to betray him here. Yeah, I think I would rather have Despaigne, too.
Not that I think Despaigne is awesome, but I think he's going to be steady. And May could just be like he was last year.
Yordano Ventura. What is wrong? Somebody get Yordano Ventura some water in between innings. He left with a calf cramp. Should be fine. Cool to start Yordano Ventura?
He's just preserving that elbow, Adam.
Thumb cramp the first game on opening day. Calf cramp on Sunday, but we're good to go with him, right?
Yeah,
I am.
Jason Wirth could play today. Garrett Richards is going to start at AAA on Tuesday, so maybe next week he comes back?
I mean, that could line him up for Sunday. I wouldn't start him this week.
Right. Henry Mejia suspended 80 games, as mentioned. Bobby Parnell, is he... you think he closes for the Mets next month?
Yes. I'll say yes.
I'm not as confident. I really like Familia.
Well, Familia is important, Al.
It is.
Felix Hernandez left in the fifth inning with quad tightness. Start or sit Felix this week?
I think I start him.
Henderson Alvarez is going to have an MRI on his elbow. Does this look serious?
Can't. I mean, if they're
serious enough to sit him this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's got probably at least as much to do with the fact that you could probably find an adequate replacement pretty easily.
Hey, look, great start for the Marlins so far.
Oh, yeah, everything that could have gone right went right?
Man, what a bad week. Homer Bailey could be ready to return. Oh, all right, so I wanted to talk about Raisel Iglesias.
Okay, talk about him.
I was so... Man, I went nuts. I just wish I could have a rerun because I started hyping him up so much, and then the fifth inning came, and he got knocked around a little bit. But this guy looked really, really good.
You were tweeting about
him? Yeah, I was tweeting about him. And then he gave up three runs, I think, in the fifth. The thing is, he's been a reliever for most of his career, so I could see him running into trouble later in games. And now, yeah. And Jason Marquis didn't suck. He was good first time out. So do you think Iglesias is out of the rotation? I think I was really impressed with what I saw with Iglesias. He looks totally legit.
Yeah, and I do fear that he's the guy that's going to be out. I think Jason Marquis bought himself some time, and the Reds probably do want to preserve Iglesias' innings, and he does have that flexibility that he could move to a bullpen role. So that stinks for him and for his owners in fantasy.
I would like to hang on to him if I could. If you find out he's out of the rotation, I'd like to hang on to him. But I guess based on what Al said, understandable if you let go of Raisel Iglesias. And Koji Uehara should be back today, and once he's back, he'll be the Boston closer.
You know, I think there's one more news item, but Scott, can I borrow your pen and your paper? And can I write on your paper? Or is this?
I don't have a pen.
Oh, I do.
You're going to write something and hold it up for me?
All right, so Adam, you can see me, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I did here?
Hold it up a little bit. A happy face?
I drew Smiley.
Oh, wait, what's up with him?
He's going to make three more rehab starts now.
Okay, three more rehab starts.
So don't start him this week.
Did you just think of that on the spot?
No, I saved it.
He drew a smiley face. Very good, Al Belcour. Any other weekend standouts that we need to talk about? Hey, Manny Machado and Evan Gattis. What is going on with these guys?
Well, who did Astros play this weekend? It's the Rangers,
They play the Rangers.
Can't blame the pitching staff for that. I know they opened with the Indians, who have a lot of high strikeout guys.
Gattis is 0-20 with 12 Ks, and Machado's 1-19.
I'm not really making anything of it yet. I mean, obviously, it's as bad a start as you can get, but in the grand scheme of things, it is just 1 week, and you invested a lot in these guys, and they still have the potential to deliver on it. I mean, how late last year was Carlos Santana batting like 150?
Yeah.
I think it was mid-May.
Yeah.
If you want to be encouraged.
I'm sorry, but he's the backup catcher for the Indians now, Santana.
Oh, that's interesting.
Ooh. That is very interesting.
Yeah.
If you want to be encouraged, Gattis did rip a hard line drive out to left field late in the game yesterday. So that's probably not something that by itself should encourage you. But if you want to be encouraged, I'm giving you that nugget. So let's look at bullpens, guys. Who are you worried about losing their job?
Oh, gosh.
LaTroy Hawkins.
Yeah, he's the first one. Blown back-to-back saves, and it was ugly both times. Part of the problem is it's not clear to me who would replace him. Like, for one thing, it seems like the Rockies are not thinking about replacing him yet. And the other thing...
I think Gottavino's the guy to stash, but I'm not running out and getting him because I think it could be Axford.
Right. Axford is actually on family leave right now. Obviously, his unfortunate situation with his son getting bitten by a rattlesnake. So that might obviously make Gottavino the clearer bet, but remains to be seen what happens there.
Don't you think that's just a terrible place for Axford, though?
Oh, yeah.
Would you have any faith in Axford if he had that job?
No. Is a lot of home runs, probably.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the Yankees then. And Dellin Betances was once again used in it was a non-save situation, but it wasn't just that. It's like it was used in a way that you would use your setup man. And that was on Friday. They haven't really had a true save situation yet. Miller got a save, but Betances had already pitched in the game and they were trailing at the time, blah, blah, blah. So hasn't been clear cut. Any thoughts on the Yankees back end of the bullpen there?
I think you need to own both because I think it's a complete toss-up at this point who ends up being the closer. I think one eventually will be.
Okay. So we're at a point in the show where I want you guys to tell me what you think we should talk about next. We've gone through some important things, but if we're missing anything, and full disclosure, horrible traffic jam in Fort Lauderdale this morning, accident on Cypress Creek. So Al and Scott were late, not blaming you, understandably late. So we're probably going to have to cut off the show a little bit earlier than we usually do. I want to give you guys the forum to get the message out, the fantasy baseball message. Preach!
Yeah, there were a few miserable pitching performances. We've touched on most of the good ones, I think, but Zach McAllister, obviously a big letdown for people who listen to the show, because he and Kendall Graveman, probably two of the biggest risers in spring training among starting pitchers, and it was just a complete disaster for both in their debuts.
I would like to just add one thing. I watched the McAllister start, and until I think the fifth inning, when it got really out of hand and they homered off of him, that guy, it was like the opening scene of The Naked Gun, where Nordberg like got his hand caught in the window and his face in the oven and all that stuff. His luck was so bad. It was
he gave up 13 hits in 4 innings, I think it was. 11 of them were singles, and I think it was the first 11 were singles.
Right, and then like his innings were extended, so I can understand a bit that he struggled in the fifth inning when they really got to him. But I just wanted to make that point. It was a comedy, basically, what was happening out there behind him.
And he said his curveball just wasn't working, and that was what worked so well for him in spring training. And having seen the highlights of him pitching in spring training, I can attest to that. That thing is great when it's on, and apparently it wasn't.
So what are you recommending with McAllister?
I've talked about him the last couple weeks, I actually own him in, I think, just one league, and I kept him in that league. I think, like with Graveman, he deserves another chance, because it wasn't just the stats in spring training that made him so interesting. It was the increase in velocity and just how dominant he looked. And like you said, some bad luck seemed to be at play there. So I'm giving him at least one more.
Would you drop him for Jimmy Nelson?
If push came to shove, I would, but hopefully it wouldn't come to that.
All right, yeah, some other guys that you said there were three?
Oh, there are several. Taiwan Walker was another big one, because he's probably right up there with McAllister and Graveman among pitchers who improved their stock this spring. And, not really clear to me what happened here. I obviously think he's a better pitcher than this.
I'm going to skip him for now, because I'm going to lump him in with some other guys in a bit.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of strugglers.
Yeah, Clay Buchholz. I mean, he was a guy who, after his opening day start, like I said with Ubaldo Jimenez before, I mean, when his mechanics are sound, he's a high-end pitcher, but it seems like he's so on again, off again, and was clearly off against the Yankees Sunday night. So he's a guy I would probably drop for Nelson or even Archie Bradley. Nobody's really going to be making a move for Buchholz, probably, if you drop him.
But you wouldn't drop him for, say, Ubaldo Jimenez, would you?
I think I would.
Ooh!
I think I would. I mean, they're similar pitchers. I keep comparing them. And Jimenez, I feel like, has actually strung together, had a nice string, a nice run more recently than Buchholz did at the end of the 2013 season.
Let's do this. I got a section called Struggling Studs here. These guys are owned in 89% of leagues or more. I want you to tell me how many of them are not must-own guys. Not must-own guys. Jared Weaver, Jeff Samardzija, Masahiro Tanaka, Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner. We can skip those two. Phil Hughes. Now, you're going to see Phil Hughes gave up only 3 runs in 6 innings. Alexi Ramirez missed a 3-run homer by about half of an inch. So it could have been a lot worse. So we got Weaver, Samardzija, Tanaka, Hughes, Fires, Tillman, who was terrible Sunday, Buchholz, Walker, and Drew Hutchison. How many of those guys, Al, I'll start with you. You haven't spoken in a while. How many of those guys jump off to you as like, I would drop them for someone I really like?
In 12-team mixed, I would drop Weaver.
Ooh.
Yeah, boy.
Yep.
Damn straight.
That's...
And then I'd go towards the bottom of your list, Tillman, Buchholz, and I think Hutchison, because I'm sort of viewing him as a streaming guy anyway. So I think those four are definitely not must-own. Well, must-own to me is really all formats. So
yeah.
So I'm certainly, if I'm talking
about 12 teams or more. Yeah, I don't want to. 10-team leagues, a lot of guys are not must-own. Let's say 12 teams or deeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, those I'd say those four. And Walker... You know, obviously a bad debut. I will admit I had a little bit of skepticism about the hype for him coming out of the spring, just because he's had consistency issues and he's had control issues. But the upside is just so tremendous for him that it's to me a big mistake to drop him because of the start.
Well, I agree with you on Tillman, Hutchison, and Buchholz. But Weaver, I feel like his track record and as much as you invested in him, I wouldn't do it yet. And I'm worried about Weaver. I am, because he's not a hard thrower, but he's usually 87, 88 average velocity on his fastball. First two starts, it's been 83, 84.
Oh, yeah. No, he's done. He's done. Put a fork in him.
After two starts?
I didn't like him from the beginning. I didn't even think about drafting him.
Well, he's at DTM. there's another level there beyond droppable. I know that for the last couple of years I haven't liked using him in road starts, a lot of road starts. So I think I could probably find somebody I would use more often, but I wouldn't be past picking him up again. I wouldn't count on being able to do that, but if it was an opportunity, I would take it.
I mean, obviously I'm benching him. I wouldn't want him in my lineup right now, but I'd give him at least one more. At least one.
And I'm sorry, just skipping backwards, talking about Graveman and some of the other guys. I'm actually starting Graveman this week in an RP slot.
Yeah
it's easier
got?
To do that with both him. Well, actually, McAllister. I don't think McAllister's starting again until the 22nd, I think I read. So no need to start him this week. But yeah. Graveman, I wouldn't necessarily be too scared to start. He wouldn't be like a high priority, but yeah.
Some other guys that kind of stood out in good ways. Carlos Martinez had a really nice start.
That's somebody I wanted to talk about.
By all means.
There's a cluster of guys who last year had some control issues that worried me. I've talked a lot about Sonny Gray. His control's been great so far. Not a lot of strikeouts, but who cares? CJ Wilson, who bombed in his second start, and AJ Burnett. And actually, of the four, I mean, Wilson's the only one that I'm really not that encouraged by. But Carlos Martinez, very, very good control in that last start.
Six innings, four hits, two runs, two walks, and eight strikeouts. But he did allow two home runs at Cincinnati. So good start to the season and a very good game yesterday, that Reds game. Got some more injuries, news, and notes to give you. Juan Uribe hurt his hamstring Saturday. Justin Turner hurt his finger Saturday. And here comes Alex Guerrero playing third base for the Dodgers. And he went 3-for-5 on Sunday with a home run, a double, and four RBI. We've talked a lot about pitchers to add, maybe not quite as many hitters. Is Guerrero somebody you guys considered adding?
Well, I know you did add him. You were dropping CJ Cron like
I am very discouraged by CJ Cron. Well, I had a kind of a realization, like, he's still kind of fringy. It's not like he's a guy that I need to hang on to, and he's been terrible.
But look, the leagues you were dropping him in, I'm desperate for a corner infielder. So, I'm going to try and claim him in both.
Well, I'm not, and you know why? It's because I own Steve Pearson every league. So,
yeah.
So that made Crone expendable. the thing with Crone though is like he'll sit for Efren Navarro.
Well, has he been?
Yeah, at least twice.
Okay. Well, the story coming in was Mike Socha planned to play him a lot. That was the plan. So, but even so, I mean, in a roto league, for a player with his power potential, you don't necessarily need him playing every day. And these are leagues that are like 360 players owned. So he probably is fringy in anything shallower than that. But like I said, these leagues, corner infielder, there's like nobody on waivers.
It occurred to me, Scott. It occurred to
me
that...
Like Ike Davis. I think Ike Davis was my best option while waiting for Cron to clear waivers.
Yeah, no, look, it occurred to me that I might regret that. Cron's 0-for-13, but he hit 11 home runs and slugged .450 in 79 games last year. And I liked him. I have sort of given up on him a little bit early. I forgot what I... Oh, yeah, Alex Guerrero.
Yeah, sorry. That was the... he's interesting. I just don't think the Dodgers are that motivated to use him. Because, I mean, he hit 17 home runs in like 285 minor league at-bats last year, and they don't like his defense, but apparently Mattingly said he was okay at third base this spring. It just seems like you know, both Juan Uribe and Justin Turner are dealing with day-to-day injuries. That's the only reason he was in. And I think they'll just go right back to them whenever they're ready to go.
And, you know, he's on the roster because he had to be where they were going to lose him. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess they're trying to get what they can out of him. But I agree. I don't have a lot of confidence in his playing time.
Ryan Rua is on the DL with an ankle sprain. The Angels owner, Artie Moreno, says he's not sure Josh Hamilton will play for the Angels again. That's more good news for CJ Cron. Casey McGee left Saturday's game with a bone bruise, and his knee could be out a few games. Michael Saunders could return this week for the Blue Jays. Marcell Ozuna was stuck in traffic on Cypress Creek Road yesterday, apparently. He was late, and he got benched on Sunday.
Why didn't you bench us, Adam?
No, it's not your fault. Traffic
could have been the Heath-only podcast.
Oh,
no.
Shin-Soo Chu pinch hit on Sunday. He was dealing with a back issue, so it's good to see him back. Liriano missed his Sunday start with he was on paternity leave. Cole Calhoun was out with a sore calf, and Eric Ibar led off. Starter sit Cole Calhoun.
Five outfielder league star, three outfielder sit.
Alex Gordon did not start Sunday. Starter sit Alex Gordon.
I would actually same thing with Calhoun. Five outfielder league, I'm starting him.
We've got some deep league guys for those people out there who are like, yeah, none of these guys are available in any of my leagues. Well, here are players that are owned in less than 30% of leagues. Tell me if you're interested in any of them. I'll go five at a time. Jason Vargas, Tim Lincecum, Jared Cozart, Brett Anderson, Joe Kelly.
Out of that group, I'm most interested in Anderson. I think he's by far the best. The issue with him is health, so he's healthy. So he's more than fine for a deep league. I think he's under-owned at 24%. But I'd actually be interested also in picking up Cozart or Vargas, too,
In a deep league, I'd probably be interested in picking up any of them.
Yeah, well, who's your favorite?
That's a good question. I mean, I think Lincecum's worth a shot, but he's also... When in a deeper league setting, you kind of have to go. You can't sell out for the upside as much. You kind of have to play it safe.
He saw those Padres uniforms and he just got all pumped up.
Yeah,
right. Colby Lewis, Kyle Kendrick, welcome back to reality. Dan Heron, Tommy Malone, Raisel Iglesias.
Raisel.
Yeah.
Even with because the deep league, he's certainly worth a stash. You're not just going to be able to pick up somebody with his potential off of waivers every day. So I do like him the best. And then in terms of somebody that I have confidence I could use right now, I'd say Tommy Malone.
All right. And lastly, Vance Worley, bad.
Yeah.
Jay Happ, good.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Warren, adequate. Nathan Carnes, good on Sunday. Jerome Williams, good. Jason Marquis, good. Sean O'Sullivan, good.
The only ones I'd even be considering are Worley, Happ, and Carnes. And I would probably go Happ of those three because the other two seems likely they're not going to be in the rotation anymore. I'd go Happ, Carnes, Worley in that order.
I'd go the exact same order and for the same reasons.
We're waiting for Heath to come in to do our daily stuff. You know who I picked up in one or two leagues?
Who, Adam?
Alejandro de Aza.
Oh, that was silly.
I don't think so.
Well, it depends on the league.
Five outfielder Roto, leading off for the Orioles, got some pop.
Who did you bench or drop for him? Because on principle, I think that's a good move.
Probably somebody crappy. I don't know.
Did you say Memorial Magazine you picked him up?
Could have been the other one. Could have been the real Roto. Why don't you check Real Roto and I'll check Memorial? How's that sound?
Well, I'm checking Memorial.
All right, I'll do the Real Roto League that we're in.
You dropped Shane Victorino for De Aza.
Oh, okay, good. Glad you mentioned him because I just saw in one of my leagues, Rusne Castillo was dropped. And Victorino's like, they're shuffling their outfield so much. So don't you guys kind of feel like you can't drop Rusne Castillo right now?
You shouldn't have anyway, and given how they're using Victorino, you absolutely should not drop Castillo. And that is probably the most annoying trend of week one. Is if you're going to demote Castillo to play Victorino, play Victorino.
Yeah, right.
Well, I agree with you, but Castillo did hurt his shoulder this weekend. Jammed it. is what they're calling it, but he's getting checked out in Boston. So definitely keep an eye on
that. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Now I feel silly.
Well, no, I mean, it could be nothing. You definitely don't want to drop him until you know something.
Until he's out for the season.
Yeah.
With that said, I do feel like Victorino is quite droppable.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read some emails here, and then we'll finish up with some FanDuel advice. Emails from Nolan first. Dear Alex, Jock, and Yasiel. That one I know. Who would you prefer going forward among this group of closers? Feliz, Reed, Gregerson, Boxberger, Soria, or Castro?
Order me a Boxberger.
Order you a Boxberger? I'm going to go with... Well, I think in a vacuum, Feliz, but if he has this choice between this many, it's probably a league where there's some closers on waivers. And in that scenario, I'd probably go upside with Boxberger, too.
We've got Ken says, Dear Vaughn, Dorn, and Serrano.
I know that one, too.
Yeah. 10-team head-to-head category league.
Old Durham.
Yeah. Who's better to start this week, Neil Walker or Devin Travis? And this is a league where home runs and extra base hits are a category.
I had Travis in five up this week, but I don't think Walker's a player you sit for Travis.
So, Adam Lane says, Dear Jax, Clay, and Opie. I think this is the end of our I know this run.
Jax, Clay, and Opie.
J-A-X. I'm in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. I was very impressed with Archie Bradley. I was considering dropping either John Lackey or Wei-Yin Chen to pick him up. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, and probably would drop Lackey because...
Ooh, I was going to go Chen. Sorry.
Well, in the proverbial vacuum, I'm definitely dropping Chen, but it is a two-start week. I don't really like him for 12-team mix. Either guy's fine. I think Chen has a little more use this week.
That's true. Either guy is fine.
That, I believe, is Sons of Anarchy, by the way.
Ah.
And I just got a damn spoiler when I Googled that, so that sucks. Hey, stick around, everybody. I'll tell you how Game of Thrones ended last night. Ruben says, which two would you keep? That's a joke. I would never do that, by the way. Which two would you keep? J.J. Hardy, Marcus Simeon, Jose Iglesias, Brad Miller. Pick two. Hardy, Simeon, Iglesias, Miller.
Simeon's the obvious one.
And I'll go Brad Miller for the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Meh.
And you,
it's a tough call.
You dissed the salutation on that one.
I didn't know it. Getty, Neil, and Alex.
Getty, Neil, and Alex. It's Rush.
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't have read the email if I had known that.
Oh.
Couple more. Alex in New York City. Hey, Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod. 12-team NL-only 5x5 Roto Keeper League. I need to trade a couple of middle infielders for some pitching help. Which one of these three middle infielders in an NL-only Keeper League, Roto, would you keep? Tommy La Stella, Jung Ho Gong, or Odubel Herrera?
I'd keep Gong and Herrera. They're just better for Roto.
I think
purposes.
He wants
just
one.
Just one? So
oh, sorry.
I'm going Gong.
Yeah, me too.
And Mike from Rhode Island. Dear, 17, 18, and 19. Red Sox versus Yankees innings that no one watched. Oh, really?
I never would have gotten that one.
No
Did
one?
Did you watch it, Adam?
Not really. I fell asleep in like the 14th, and I DVR'd the rest, and I watched it on Fast Forward.
Oh.
So I can't really say I watched it.
Yeah.
He says that... Mike says that you should make trades early in the season. You can capitalize on people overreacting. I think that's true.
Yeah, if you play in a league where people are inclined to overreact.
So give me one guy you would reach out to the overreacting owner for.
Phil Hughes.
Oh, you can have him.
Not going to happen?
No, you said I could have him.
Oh, well, how about Gattis? In a roto league, Gattis.
Okay. Al, I'm just kidding about Phil Hughes.
Heath is in the building now. Are you want to...
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, I'm going to turn Heath's volume up here so that you can actually hear him. He was talking this whole time, just nobody knew.
Oh, well, let's hear
I
him.
I didn't talk at all.
Heath, we got 5 minutes, sir, so give us your daily dose here as I remind everyone that CBS Sports hosts one-day fantasy baseball leagues on FanDuel. And for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. A bonus of up to $200. Go to FanDuel.com. Use the offer code CBS, FANDUEL.com. Sign up right now and use that offer code CBS. And here's how you should set your lineup today. Heath.
Today is the day of the pitchers that disappointed in their first start of the season, I guess. John Lester, $10,100 against Cincinnati. He's one of the top favorites of the day, but the top favorite of the day is Andrew Cashner for only $8,000 against Arizona. I think Cashner's my favorite play of the day. One pitcher that did not disappoint at all, but is still a big favorite and is still going to be played by a lot of people, is Scott Kazmir, $8,800 against Houston. I'm curious what you guys think of Kazmir, because everybody's getting really excited about the Astros strike out all the time. Do the Astros really strike out that much against left-handed pitching, though?
I don't know. I would
assume they struck out against everybody, but yeah.
They have the second most Ks.
I don't get quite as excited about Kazmir.
He's my starting pitcher. I just think he's going to win.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's 70% owned in cash games.
Well, I like your Cashner argument.
Cash games,
yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I think he's going to be one of the highest owned pitchers of the day.
Yeah.
Probably
he's the one who jumped out to me, just looking at the...
Yes.
Pulling up the list now.
He's the one that makes the most sense, I think. I do like Cashner a lot. Adrian Gonzalez doesn't play for the Diamondbacks, so that helps.
I think you got to go Latos, right?
Well, clearly. I mean, think of all the good hitters where you can do that extra money you're saving.
Yeah, right. Well, you could start Latos, and then you could start every Brave, and you'll have yourself covered. No, but how about some hitters? I like Freddie Freeman. He's the eighth most expensive first baseman. He's 10 for 16 against Matt Latos, and most of that was like good Matt Latos. So I got Freeman in my lineup. Anybody that really jumps out to you, or any lineups you're going to stack?
My two favorite stacks are the Blue Jays against Jake Odorizzi, because I just don't believe that he's that good, and I think a fly ball pitcher in the Rogers Center is something to take advantage of.
Okay.
And then the other one is the Angels coming off a thrashing against the Kansas City Royals. They're only averaging 2.5 runs per game so far this year. They're not that bad. There's no better way to get healthy than against Ross Detweiler.
You guys have anything you want to add?
No, because of the aforementioned traffic jam, I'm going night only tonight.
Yeah. Yeah,
check
me too.
Out later in the day.
And these were all night games that we're discussing. I'm playing night only. I might play a daytime lineup, but there won't be any advice about the daytime lineups. You can, of course, always ask us on Twitter, and I can give any advice you need.
Well, what do you think about the Royals in a daytime against Trevor May?
Well, they have the highest projected total. I don't usually like to talk about regression when talking about daily fantasy baseball. I think it works a lot better with season-long baseball, because you can say, yes, it's coming at some point this year.
Yeah.
To say regression starts today, that's generally a fool's exercise, I think. But the Royals are going to regress at some point. Clearly, the Royals don't have a very good history against pitchers like this that are just kind of coming up out of nowhere. I mean, they've seen him before, but... They are, if you were going to say who's the best stack of the day in the day games, and I wasn't a Royals fan, I would say the Royals.
I got one guy I want to ask you all about. David Fries, off to a pretty decent start. He's already homered twice off lefties. He's facing a lefty today, and he batted .320 against lefties in 100 at-bats last year. So I got Fries in my lineup.
That wasn't just last year. I think he's a .315 career hitter against lefties.
I got him in my lineup for 3,000.
A lot more power in the second half, so that's also... continuing over that trend.
So it sounds like we can get on board with that.
And if you plug him in at third base, it really frees up some salary in other places.
Exactly. So
and he's kind of expensive at $3,000, don't you think?
Not at third base though, because there were Machado's a lot of
28. I know they're going against Pineda.
Oh, he's 1 for 19.
It's also Manny Machado. I don't know. I'd probably, well, Lowry's 27.
Freeze against Detweiler, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As opposed to Machado, who's 1 for 19 against Pineda.
Against Pineda.
And we know who Scott's going to play at catcher. So
we do.
He told me on opening day, or maybe the second day of the season, anytime this guy's playing against a left-handed pitcher, I'm going to start him.
Oh, Chris Iannetta.
Chris Iannetta against Detweiler. I think he's only 2,300.
Yeah. Cool. No, I featured Iannetta in 5 up, 5 down this week.
So. Iannetta, Freeze, Trout, maybe Pujols is a pretty nice stack against Detweiler.
Yep, I would agree.
Did anybody make the joke? I think we said it, but sorry, there is a bit of an echo here that we're dealing with. Did anybody make the joke that it frees up a lot of money if you put him in your lineup?
I did say that.
You said it, but did you acknowledge it as a pun?
Al groaned.
I didn't catch it as a pun, so well done, sir. Thank you, okay. Heath. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Heath, we appreciate your time.
I'm glad to be here.
And what kind of please call the next year Donald Ventura cramp. What body part?
You know, I was afraid he was going to get a facial cramp from getting pummeled by Mike Trout yesterday. Thankfully, Trout held back. I don't know. I guess when you have Salvador Perez standing behind you, it makes you feel quite a bit tougher.
I guess so.
But there's a nice picture on MLB.com of Ventura staring down Trout from like 4 inches away from his face.
It would have been a bad move.
Really, really, really dangerous.
Okay, Al, thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Scott White, see you later.
See you, Adam.
I'm Adam Azer, and have a great one, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.